12 Master Keys for Creating an Atmosphere of Miracles and Success. Today I want to start by reading from Luke chapter 5, looking at verse 17. It says, "And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching," speaking about Jesus, "that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Now, I think it's interesting, you know, Jesus knew how to create specific atmospheres. He knew how to create atmospheres which were conditioned for releasing heaven's glory and blessings. And right here in this verse, it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Jesus created an atmosphere of divine healing, and he was doing that as he was teaching. Now, of course, in Romans 10, verse 17, it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As Jesus was teaching, he was literally creating an atmosphere where the healing power of God could begin to flow and physically begin to touch people's bodies to manifest divine healing. It goes on and it says, "And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy," he was paralyzed, "and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find a way by which they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus." Now, I think this is amazing. You know, these people were perceptive enough to discern that there was an atmosphere of healing that was present. And something that I've discovered is, you know, the right atmosphere creates the right rewards. And people will do anything possible, whether it means, you know, pushing through a crowd, whether it means going onto the top of a roof and being lowered through the roof into the presence, into the atmosphere of healing, whatever people have to do, you know, whether they have to fly across the country, whether they have to spend a little bit of money, whether they need to sow a seed, whether they need to sacrifice some time or give of their talents and their efforts. But I've discovered that when the right atmosphere is present, people will do anything to get into that atmosphere. And we find that here in this passage of scripture, these men that discerned the atmosphere that Jesus was creating, so much so that they were willing to go up on the roof. Now, I don't think it would have been an easy thing for a paralyzed man, a man who had palsy, to get up on top of a roof. It must have been extremely difficult. And I can only picture it right now in my imagination, the efforts that would have to be made to get that man up on the roof. I don't know whether they pulled him up, dragged him up, threw him on top of the roof, or what they had to do, but they understood that the right atmosphere would produce the right results. And they did what they needed to do to get into that atmosphere. And the Bible says in verse 20 that when Jesus saw their faith, now not only did Jesus create an atmosphere of healing, but he also created an atmosphere of tangible faith. It was an atmosphere that was filled with expectancy and expectation of what God could do, the possibilities of God. And it says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" It's interesting, you know, these people that had the sick man, they perceived the atmosphere. They perceived that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was a miracle worker. And yet in that same surrounding, there were these people, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, which did not even perceive that Jesus was who he was. And I think that gives us an understanding that we have to be perceptive of atmospheres, that we could literally be standing within a miracle realm and not even know it. And if we don't know it, we won't connect with it. It takes faith to connect to heavenly glory. You know, faith is the connector. And so it says that these men were challenging Jesus. And in verse 22, Jesus responded because he perceived their thoughts. Now, isn't this interesting? Jesus created a realm of divine healing. He created a realm, an atmosphere of tangible faith. And then here it says that Jesus perceived their thoughts. And he said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts?" Now, Jesus was literally standing within a realm of healing, a realm of faith, but also an atmosphere of high definition, what I like to call high definition forensic prophetic information. This is the revelatory flow of heaven where you begin to know things that you couldn't know in the natural, where you begin to perceive people's thoughts, emotions. You begin to know what's going on below the surface. And so there are certainly atmospheres that can be created, atmospheres which can be cultivated. Jesus knew how to create these atmospheres. And within this realm, Jesus spoke the word of faith. And verse 25 says that immediately that man that had been laying on his bed, he rose up before them and took up that which he lay on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. There was literally a dramatic miracle of divine healing. It was a creative miracle. I mean, this man was paralyzed. He suffered of a palsy. And the next thing you know, he's up. He's going back to his house. I imagine he was dancing. I imagine he was probably shouting really loudly. He was probably twirling a little bit, doing things that he couldn't have done for a long time. And then in verse 26, it says, and they were all amazed. I mean, this was an amazing thing. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things this day." And, you know, Jesus created this atmosphere. He knew how to create an atmosphere where miracles were flowing, where information, heavenly information, downloads were available, where tangible faith was present that created expectation to rise. He created this atmosphere of heavenly glory. And today I want to go into a teaching where I give you 12 master keys for creating an atmosphere for miracles and success in your life. Master key number one, a specific atmosphere is necessary for creativity. Every artist prepares their workspace with proper lighting and music that sets a mood and materials that they will use to create before they begin working on their masterpiece. And you know, it's the same in our life when we're wanting to move in the realm of the miraculous or move in the realm of being successful with God. He will give us tools to create an atmosphere for creativity, an atmosphere where the thoughts, the ideas of God will just begin to flow. You know, the difference between a good thought and a God thought is that good thoughts sometimes work, but God thoughts always work. And I want to create an atmosphere where the glory of God, the presence of heaven can literally flow in my life and I can just begin moving with God. You know, Jesus said that he only did what he saw the Father doing, and he actually only said what he heard the Father speaking. And I believe that's one of the reasons why Jesus had 100% success in his miracle ministry, because he wasn't moving on his own, but he was literally moving within the creativity of heaven. He was allowing God's voice to create an atmosphere of creativity within him. And so there's certainly several things that we can consider when we're creating an atmosphere for creativity. Certainly things that we can get in place. Music creates an atmosphere. The right words create an atmosphere. You know, the Bible says that by your words, you will either be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. And it speaks about the power of life and death that's in our tongue. And I've discovered, you know, when I speak positive words, when I speak faith-filled words, when I'm speaking God's word over my life, there's joy that begins to flow. There's a peace that begins to settle in my spirit. And to the contrary of that is, you know, if I get into a place of feeling overwhelmed or feeling down and I start to grumble or complain or maybe say some things that aren't really uplifting, it's amazing how quickly that can create the opposite atmosphere. Now, a negative atmosphere, I've discovered, creates toil. But a positive atmosphere literally releases ease or just that that flowing, just that simple flowing forth where it's not that, you know, we're not working. It's not that we're not doing things anymore, but we just can do them a whole lot easier. And so I want to create an atmosphere that is positive. I want to create an atmosphere that's filled with joy, with peace, with love, with prosperity. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus actually said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. Now, Jesus was speaking about the potential or the master key of prayer, that prayer literally creates a specific atmosphere for coming into the gifts, the manifestations, the blessings of God. He said, you pray in secret. Do this, you know, pray in secret, go find a place, find a corner, find a room, find a closet, find a couch and just spend that time in prayer. But he says, what you do in secret won't remain a secret forever. God will reward you openly. In Matthew 21, verse 12, Jesus was bothered by the atmosphere that had been created in the temple. Because remember, he said, my house shall be a house of prayer. And they had set up their tables and they were gambling and they were taking advantage of one another. And the whole atmosphere had got so distracted, so cluttered, so far beyond what its purpose, the intended purpose of what God had meant for the temple of God, that Jesus was bothered by that. Because that kind of atmosphere, the wrong atmosphere produces the wrong results. The wrong atmosphere produces the wrong rewards. The wrong atmosphere can literally hinder you from entering into what God has for you, what He's made available for you. And so when we talk about creating an atmosphere for creativity, you know, spend some time creating an atmosphere, your surroundings, your life, organizing your life. And some of those things, you know, that you can do is as simple as, you know, just declutter your space. You know, maybe paint a wall a different color. Maybe just organize your room. You know, there's some very simple things. Just put a CD player, get your iPod and hook it up to a speaker and just begin to fill your atmosphere, your room with music. There's things that you can do to create an atmosphere that will be conducive for creativity. And instead of, you know, looking around and blaming everybody else for what you're not doing, realize that God has given you the tools in your own hands. And it's just, sometimes it's just as simple as just taking what you've got and just putting things into order. Now, I want to give you master key number two. Your atmosphere will determine your fruitfulness. Every harvest is subject to both the seed and the soil. The proper atmosphere will create fertile ground for the seeds that you plant. And I think this is an important key to understand because there's a lot of talk about sowing seed. And, you know, I believe that everything good that God has put into our life has been given to us as a seed. The creativity that God's given me, the talents, the anointings, the abilities that God has given to me, the fact that I can use my hands to work, that I can walk with my feet, that I can speak with my mouth, you know, that I can listen with my ears. All of those are really seeds. And if I understand that properly, then I'll begin to cherish and invest those seeds in the right places. Now, a seed is anything that will multiply when placed in the proper atmosphere. Adaptation is a seed for longevity. Communication is a seed for understanding. Peace is a seed for righteousness. Gratitude is a seed that opens up doors of opportunity. Forgiveness is a seed for peace. Financial sacrifice is a seed for financial harvest. Excellence is a seed for recognition. Integrity is the seed for promotion. Praise is a seed for changing the atmosphere. And time is a seed for eternity. Now, there's a lot of talk about seeds and sowing seeds and a lot of focus on the seed, but just as vital as the seed is also the soil in which we sow. The soil is absolutely vital. It's absolutely important that we understand what soil we're sowing into. You can take a perfectly good seed, and if you sow it in the wrong soil, it will not produce a harvest. Now, the problem is not the seed. Now, the problem's the soil. And so it's important that we understand this when it comes to atmospheres. I believe when we speak about soil could represent a person, a place, or an atmosphere. And the Bible specifically speaks about soil in Mark chapter 4 and also in Matthew 13. It speaks about four different types of soil. The first soil that it talks about is the hard soil. And this is represented by, you know, an atmosphere, a person, or a place that is unwilling to receive. Now, in hard soil, the hard soil will not receive the seed. It doesn't matter what kind of seed you have, how good your seed is, how much potential is in the seed, hard soil will not receive the seed. Every farmer understands that, and that's why they plow the ground. That's why they work the soil. That's why they make sure that everything is fresh and everything is ready to receive, because if the soil doesn't receive the seed, you're not going to get a harvest. Now, the second soil that the Bible talks about is the rocky soil. This would be a person, a place, or an atmosphere that is doubtful, that lacks faith. It's filled with doubt, unbelief. So when troubles come, you know, the seed goes in a little bit, but then it quickly gets rejected. And this kind of soil will also not receive the seed fully. It begins to receive the seed, but then there's too many rocks, there's too much stuff in the soil that it quickly rejects the seed, and again, the harvest will not come. The third soil the Bible talks about is the weed choke soil. This is the person, the place, the atmosphere, where there's more of a lust for earthly things than heavenly things. This is an atmosphere, a personal place where there's too many weeds on the inside that begin to strangle or choke out those seeds that have been invested, those seeds that have been planted. I don't know about you, but in my own life, I think one of the greatest tragedies is when I've invested and I've sown seeds into a person, a place, or an atmosphere, and I know how much potential is in that seed and how much God wants to bless the seed and how much harvest he wants to bring forth from it. And I see that as it's invested, that either that person, the place, or the atmosphere just can't deal with their stuff enough to actually receive the seed and allow that seed to grow. And all these things of life, all these circumstances come and they literally choke out, that just weed choke that seed. And again, the harvest cannot come forth. But the soil, and I want to focus on this soil, is the fourth soil. The soil that God is looking for is that freshly tilled soil, or that good ground. The Bible talks about good soil, good ground. And when we sow, and I like to call it God ground, because when we sow into that good ground, that's the soil which receives the seed. That's the atmosphere which receives the seed. And in that atmosphere, in that soil, in that ground, the fullest harvest, the fullest potential is able to come forth. And so that's why we need to understand that your atmosphere will determine your fruitfulness. Watch what kind of atmospheres you're sowing into. Watch what kind of places you're investing your time, your talents, your finances, your efforts, your love, your devotion, because it doesn't matter how good your seed is. If you invest it in the wrong place, you will not get a harvest. And that's why God's called us to be discerning. That's why God wants us to open up our eyes and see as he sees. That's why he wants our heart to be perceptive to the things of the Spirit. And, you know, he's not calling you to invest in bad ground. He's given you seeds in order that they would multiply as they're planted in fertile soil, which will produce the maximum harvest. Master key number three. You know, the right music may be the key that you've been looking for to establish the right atmosphere for success. Many people have actually told us that even as they've listened to our Spirit Spa CDs, that it's created an atmosphere for so much peace and even healing just to flow into their offices, their workplaces. It's interesting. I was in Australia a few years ago and I walked into a spa and I realized they were playing my Spirit Spa CD there. And they told me, they said, this is our most favorite CD that we play here. We feel so much peace. And, you know, the reason for that is because music can carry the presence of God with it. It's a conduit. It's a channel for the flow of God's Spirit to flow into a place, into a home, into the surroundings. And that's one of the amazing powers of praise and worship music and anointed music that comes from the Spirit. And You know, music has the ability to change the atmosphere all around you. I've discovered that wherever you establish praise, you establish an open door. Psalm 100 says that we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And it's talking about, you know, entering into gates, into portals, into an open door of blessing, into an open door, that miracle flow of heavenly glory. You know, Psalm 32 verse 7 says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." It's possible to create an atmosphere of deliverance, an atmosphere of complete wholeness, healing, an atmosphere of peace, an atmosphere of rest through the sounds which are released. And that's why I love to continually play anointed praise and worship in my office, at home in our library, all throughout our house. We installed a speaker system just so that we could continually have anointed praise and worship music flowing. I've discovered that I actually work better when I'm in the presence of the sound. And even before we began recording this CD today, I asked the engineer just to begin to play a little bit of music just to kind of bring that peace into the atmosphere. Just let me settle down, just feel that calmness, the ease of God, in order to even get into this teaching today. And back in the 1920s, there was actually a scientist by the name of Royal Raymond Rife who discovered a process of killing bacteria by using select frequencies or sounds that were very similar to ultrasonic cleaning. It was written about in an article by Barry Linz. The article was called "The Cancer Cure That Worked." There was actually a lady named Anne Marie who had come to one of our meetings several years ago in New Hampshire, and she had terrible bone cancer all over her body. And actually, during the one meeting, I was praising and worshiping the Lord and creating just this atmosphere of sound and music and the expression of heaven. And during that experience, Anne Marie later on told us that she actually felt like all of the cancer in her body began to flow up through her body, through her neck, through the top of her head, and actually began to dissipate or leave her body from the top of her head. She just felt the cancer go right up out of her body. And we all got very excited about that when she told us later on after the meeting, you know, her report and the testimony, the way she was feeling. And we thought, this is wonderful. But what was really exciting was the following week we were ministering in Providence, Rhode Island, and Anne Marie drove all the way from where she lived to come and see us. And she actually brought her doctor report with her that showed that every single symptom of cancer, every sign, every trace of cancer in her body was no longer there, that she was 100% healed of cancer. And she got so excited. She was saying, "Praise changes the atmosphere. I know it because it actually caused cancer to leave my body." And we got so excited about that. Even in traditional medicine, they're now beginning to introduce sound therapies and different processes of healing with sound. They've discovered that people actually begin the healing process quicker. It's accelerated in the sound. As sound is released, oftentimes they'll play things like Beethoven, Mozart, or classical instrumental music that is just extremely peaceful. And it certainly brings a calming atmosphere, really the atmosphere of heaven, into that situation of disease or infirmity. One of my most favorite books of the Bible is the book of Psalms. And I love it because David is a psalmist, a man after God's own heart. And I want to be a man after God's own heart. I love to sing songs to God. I love to write new songs. I love to sing new songs. And, you know, singing a new song really isn't a new thing at all. But all throughout the scripture, we are commanded to sing a new song to the Lord. And sometimes I think we've read that and we thought of it as just a lip service, you know, giving God just the sound of our mouth. You know, we just release a song from our mouth and that's the song he's asking for, a new song. But that's really not it at all. Science has begun to discover that our entire bodies are actually made of vibrations and frequencies, and every part of our body is actually resonating with a sound. And I believe when the psalmist says, "Sing a new song to the Lord," it's actually calling us into a new place place of freedom, a new place of miracles, a new place of wholeness. Praise is what I do because it's who I am. I was created to be a praise. You were created to be a praise, created to be a worship for God. He wants to receive your sound, the sound that you release. Science has begun to discover, you know, that different parts of the body actually resonate with different keynote frequencies. We hear notes on a piano. We hear notes through music at a certain auditory rate, but our bodies are resonating at an even higher frequency that's above natural auditory rate. If we could really hear our sounds, it's amazing the sounds we would hear. In Europe right now, they've actually discovered that they can take DNA samples and actually print them out just like a symphony of sound. Your DNA literally contains a song. You are a song, and God is calling you to sing a new song. We've created some ministry cards here in our ministry for different topics, different messages that I've preached, and different topics of glory. And one of those cards is actually Frequencies of Glory for Spirit, Soul, and Body, where we've laid out the scientific research and studies that we've found correlating between the parts of the body, which correlate with different sounds, also correlate with colors, also correlate with, emotional reactions, emotional response. And I would encourage you to get a copy of that. It's called Frequencies of Glory, Spirit, Soul, and Body. But it's such a fascinating realm to discover that anointed music is able to create an atmosphere of serenity, peace, tranquil rest, and healing. Now I want to share with you Master Key number 4. Your atmosphere is always subject to change. It is important to realize that, you know, your atmosphere is subject to change. Create an atmosphere of glory, but then stand on guard. It's important to stand on guard, being careful not to allow unwanted parasites from taking over. You know, praise changes the atmosphere, but then worship sustains the realm. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We change the atmosphere, but then we must sustain that realm of glory through living a life of worship. Like I said, praise is what I do because it's who I am. Live a life of worship. Sustain that realm of worship in your home, in your business, in your community, in your region, in your church. Sustain a realm of worship. Choose to live in the blessing instead of living out of it. Choose on purpose to live in a place of heavenly glory instead of living in hell. You know, there's a lot of people, they walk around, all they can talk about is all the problems of the day. You know, don't look at your problems and look at them like you're working for your problem. The Bible says in Corinthians that your problems are actually working for you. You can live in peace. You can live in the blessing. You can choose to live in the glory. You can choose to live in a state of being a worship for God. So remember, your atmosphere is always subject to change. Guard the realm. Master Key number 5, an outward atmosphere will influence an inward atmosphere. You know, your eyes are the windows to the soul. What goes in will change you. Colors affect your emotional attitude. Spiritual atmosphere will affect your spiritual alertness. Your friends will determine your mindsets, your actions, oftentimes even your successes. It's a popular saying that you become who you hang out with. It's because it's a natural, you know, thing as a human being to be influenced by your environment. Teenagers who become close friends with drug addicts often become druggies themselves. Young people who find a mentor in an accomplished business person often become wealthy business owners as well. Ministers who hang around with other anointed ministers will discover a greater glory increasing in their own life. You know, I love to hang out with people who are, I hate to almost say this, but just for lack of a better word, I like to hang out with people who are better than me. I like to hang out with people who have experienced more in God, who have discovered keys to prosperity that I've not yet discovered. I love to hang out with people who are moving in divine miracles and healing and supernatural things that I long to tap into. I've discovered that as I hang out with those people, I begin to touch those realms. I begin to take on their attitudes. I begin to understand their position. I begin to hear their heart and begin to be influenced by that environment in which I engage myself. And so I encourage you to watch the places that you invest your time. Watch the places where you invest yourself. You know, there's only four kinds of relationships. Number one, those that uplift. Number two, those that pull down. Number three, those that create. And then number four, those that destroy. Only four kinds of relationships. And actually, the Bible gives us a very specific warning in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." It's telling us, watch out who you walk with, who you stand with, and who you sit with. And so relationships, the environment in which we engage ourselves, it's very important to watch what kind of atmosphere we are giving ourselves to, what kind of atmosphere we're allowing to influence us. A miracle connection will always produce a miracle atmosphere. So connect with environments, connect with places, connect with people, make a connection with ministries which are flowing in the Spirit, flowing in the miracle realms, and it's going to release a miracle atmosphere for you. Now, master key number five also really connects with master key number six. An inward atmosphere will influence an outward atmosphere. Remember, the Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And so not only will we be influenced by the outward atmosphere, but there's actually an inward atmosphere that God wants to establish in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, that hope of glory, living, residing on the inside of you, that will literally begin flowing out of you to the places that surround you. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, "From your heart, the mouth speaks." And so this is speaking about the inward atmosphere actually flowing up, flowing out, and then beginning to influence your outer atmosphere. There's an old saying, whatever goes in must come out. Now, it's very important to cultivate your spiritual walk with the Lord, because your outward atmosphere will be affected by your inner peace, your inner attitude, your intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, oftentimes what you see in the natural is really just a reflection of what's happening in the Spirit. That's why God wants to give you greater spiritual vision, greater spiritual insight. Even that atmosphere I was talking about, you know, where Jesus began to move in this realm of perceiving their thoughts and knowing the unknowable. The Bible promises that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead us into all truth, and he will actually reveal to us things that we have not known, things that we have not seen, things that we have not heard before. That atmosphere of high definition, forensic, prophetic, supernatural, revelatory information beginning to flow through our lives. Why? Because if we get it in the Spirit, then from within, it can flow out. And God wants to use you as a world changer. He wants to use you as one that would influence your community, your region, your household. God wants to use you as one that would affect your family and spread his love, his peace, his joy, every single place that you go. An inward atmosphere will influence an outward atmosphere. And you know, the only way that you can really cultivate an atmosphere of glory on the outside is if you have the atmosphere of glory on the inside. And we know that there's only one way to heaven. There is only one way into that glory realm, and that is through the person and the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Master key number seven. Your atmosphere will determine your growth and possibilities. You know, faith comes by hearing the word, and anointing comes through impartation of the word, and spiritual growth comes by spending time in God's presence. And the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. And so the atmosphere that you create has the ability to release the possibilities of God into any situation, any circumstance that you're facing in your life, just as a greenhouse creates a climate for the perfect growth of vegetables, fruits, and other plants. The atmosphere of God's glory creates the ideal environment for you to flourish. You were created for divine success. You were created to manifest the blessings of heaven here on the earth. Jesus's prayer was, "Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." You know, we've been praying that prayer for so many years, not even realizing what we were really speaking. Jesus taught us to pray, "Let it be here on earth as it is in heaven." You were created to manifest heaven on earth. You know, when I was a young child, I was born and raised here in Canada, and you know, we have horrible, cold, snowy winters, lots of ice and storms and all those kinds of things. And it was just a dream of mine as a little child to one day be able to see a palm tree. We used to get these postcards from my grandparents. They would go visit Florida and California and send me postcards, you know, of the San Diego Zoo and Walt Disney World. And there was always palm trees in the pictures, and it always looked warm and sunny and hot and beautiful. And it was a dream of mine. One day, maybe I could see a palm tree. I just wanted to see a palm tree so badly. We don't have palm trees here in this part of Canada where I live. You know, it's too cold and too much snow, and it gets too freezing in the wintertime for those kinds of plants to survive. And I wanted to see tropical flowers and these kinds of things that, to me, they just represented a warmer climate. And I'll never forget the one day I went down to visit my grandmother, and as we were spending some time with her, she made this announcement that she was going to take us to see, me and my other cousins, to go see a palm tree. And I thought, oh, this is amazing, you know, because I'm thinking warm weather and it's going to be real nice. And she told me that she was going to take us to see palm trees and tropical flowers. And then she told me that it was just down the road. It wasn't very far from where she lived. Well, I mean, it was cold. It was snowy outside. And we got in her little car and we drove maybe about 15 minutes down the road to another city. And there we went into a greenhouse. And in that greenhouse, let me tell you, when we walked in the doors of that greenhouse, the entire atmosphere changed. The entire atmosphere shifted. We went from this cold, snowy climate on the outside to all of a sudden a warm, humid climate. I can still remember the feeling on my face of the humidity and the smells that were in the air. And lo and behold, right in front of me, there was a beautiful palm tree. The first palm tree I ever saw was in that atmosphere of the greenhouse. Now, in the natural, it's impossible to grow a palm tree in Canada. But you know what? In the right atmosphere, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Now, I use that example because there's people that look at their lives and they say, you know, I've got this going wrong. I've only got so much money. I'm in a bad relationship. I've been suffering. You know, I'm struggling with this sickness, this disease. I've had these troubles. I've got these bills. My children bother me. They, you know, they act up. And, you know, there's a myriad of problems that you might have in your life. But the truth is, if you create the right atmosphere in the midst of all the trouble and all the chaos and all the craziness, the right atmosphere produces the right results and the right rewards. And so God has given us this ability to create an atmosphere of glory. You know, Jesus didn't pray, "Father, thy kingdom come," and sweep us all up to heaven where we don't have to worry about the things of the earth. He actually prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Earth. A lot of people are praying, "God, just get me out of here. Rapture me. Take me. I want to go to heaven. I need out of my chaos, out of my problems." But that's really not the answer. God wants you to manifest heaven on earth. The atmosphere that you create has the ability to create exponential growth in your life, divine success, and release the possibilities of heaven, even amongst all the turmoil and all the crazy stuff you're going through. Now, Isaiah 60 is, I know it's a prophetic word to the nation of Israel, but there seems to be a touch of glory upon it right now, where God is giving it as a rhema word to his people. And you know, Isaiah 60 says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." you. It says, in the midst of all the darkness and all the turmoil and the wars, the rumors of wars, the famines, all the stuff that may take place on the earth, His glory covers you. His glory is seen upon you. And it will actually cause you to be a shining light to those that are around you. And the Bible says that kings will come to the brightness of your rising. So remember that your atmosphere will determine your growth and possibilities. Master key number 8, the colors in your atmosphere will magnify your emotional strengths or weaknesses. In the Old Testament, the significant color of the stones on the priest's breastplate were symbolic of the colors around God's heavenly throne and also represented the colors of the 12 tribes of Israel. You can read about it in Exodus 28, verses 17 to 21. We can actually see beautiful colors displayed once again through the jewels and the foundation walls of the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, verses 18 to 20. Colors are important to God and display characteristics of His beauty. There is prophetic significance of colors, and we actually, as a ministry, have created some ministry cards about the prophetic importance of colors and the prophetic meaning of colors and numbers, and you can purchase those through our ministry. You know, some people have complained to me and they've said, well, Brother Joshua, you can't talk about colors because that would be, you know, New Age philosophy or theories or ideologies. But the truth is, the New Age did not create color. God created colors in the very beginning. You know, He's the one who created the rainbow. He's the one who created all of creation. And I don't think God does anything by accident. I don't think there's anything that He does by mistake. And oftentimes I've found with God, there's layers upon layers of truth and revelation that's always unfolding. The more that we pursue God, the more that He begins to speak to us and unfold things for us to show us and bring us into greater understanding. And studies have shown, actually, that specific colors create different emotional reactions within people. The color red is one of the most demanding colors that commands attention and encourages you towards bold action. And that's why if you suffer from anger issues or have anger problems, the color red certainly would not be a recommended color to paint your bedroom or even the rooms of your home with, because it's a little bit too demanding. The reason why stop signs and stoplights and exit signs, all of those are in the color red is because it is a color that grabs your attention. It literally physically stimulates your emotional responses and even the body and mind, increasing your enthusiasm, respiration, heartbeat, circulation, pulse rate. Studies have proven these things. Now, the color blue is a peaceful, calming color. Same with the color green. It's also a calming color and a color in which they've discovered that people will actually accelerate through the healing process quicker simply because those colors bring a peaceful atmosphere, the color green, the color blue. Something interesting about the color green is they've discovered that children that are having trouble reading and have learning disabilities, even dyslexia, if they place a green acetate sheet over top of the book or the information that needs to be read, for some reason, children actually oftentimes can begin reading better, easier, or quicker with that green sheet over top of the words. And I was talking about this a few years ago, just mentioning a few of these findings that I had discovered, things that science had discovered and other studies had come up with. And I was just sharing these as just some food for thought. And there was a woman that was in the meetings whose son had dyslexia and had been suffering with it for a long time. And she actually went home and she got a green acetate sheet and put it over a book for her son. And amazingly, what I shared began to happen for her. Her son began to read and something began to switch in his brain to help him with his reading disability. And so, you know, I don't understand all of this. What I do know is that God created colors and He created them with a purpose for a reason. And different people react differently to different colors. Now they've discovered that the color pink actually is a color that creates a craving for sweets within people. And that's why oftentimes donut boxes or candy is packaged with pink graphic design or pink packaging, because it creates a craving for sweets. Some studies suggest that male weightlifters lose up to 1/3 of their strength while exercising in a pink room. Now, this is why some sports teams choose to use pink to color the locker rooms used by the opposing teams, as it has a tranquilizing effect. Isn't that amazing? It's also used sometimes in prison cells to calm inmates. And so there are different emotional reactions to different colors. And when creating an atmosphere, you know, whether that's your home or whether it's your church sanctuary or whether that's at your business, your workplace, when you're creating an atmosphere, take some of these things into mind and let God lead you. Now, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And you know what? He is a teacher and he's a counselor. And you can consult the Holy Spirit and ask him, you know, what color would you have me to paint my room? What color would you have me to paint my house? What color would you have me put in the sanctuary? Several pastors and different ministries have actually consulted me in regards to decorating and interior design because of these studies that I've come into and these things that I've found about atmosphere. Creating the right atmosphere produces the right results. And I cannot stress that enough. I know I keep on saying that, but it's so true. The right atmosphere creates the right rewards. Create an atmosphere that is suitable for you, that will allow you to become everything you're intended to be. Colors have the ability to attract or distract your attention, okay? And so just remember that the colors in your atmosphere will magnify your emotional strengths or weaknesses. Master key number 9. Only you can determine what atmosphere you need. Discern, create, and pursue the things that you need in order to create an atmosphere suitable for you. You know, sometimes the smallest changes can make the biggest difference. It's amazing. Just taking care of a few small things can change your whole world, everything around you. Sometimes it's just a matter of uncluttering, you know, decluttering your space. Sometimes it's just a matter of organizing things that have been sitting around. Other times it's just painting a wall and just freshening things up. And, you know, we moved into a new home last year, and the home that we bought is beautiful, and God blessed us in such a wonderful way. But every single wall in that home was painted gray, and I have been in that gray atmosphere for quite a few months, and I could not stand it any longer. And Janet, Angela, and I, we decided we were going to change our atmosphere and do, you know, some of these things that I'm teaching about. And so we actually decided to have painters come in, and they painted the entire inside of our home a cloud white color. And I cannot tell you how happy that made me and how much it changed the entire atmosphere in our home. As soon as you walk in the doors, everything feels fresh. It feels bright and open and welcoming. And it's like I can just breathe like, oh, this is so nice, you know? And just that small little change actually made a huge difference. And since that time, I have been just creating things, and I just felt so much better. And it was just a matter of just painting the walls. And, you know, other times it's just making a difference of, you know, waking up a little bit earlier to have some prayer time, spending some time with God. I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't make any changes without first consulting the presence of God. I wouldn't do anything significant. Any major, massive decisions in my life must first be brought to the secret place. They must first be brought into the glory. And in that glory, God will begin speaking to us. And so sometimes it's just a matter of making these small changes. I know that when I exercise and I take time to go to the gym, I feel a lot better. I feel a lot of energy. The adrenaline gets flowing and the rest of my day is super productive. And so it might just be making a few little changes like this. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Only you can determine what atmosphere you need. Master key number 10, the right atmosphere is priceless. A financial sacrifice for the right atmosphere will become the greatest investment that you have ever made. Successful people know that without a great atmosphere, they are unable to produce great results. The right atmosphere creates the right rewards. I have said that so many times today already, but I want you to remember that the right atmosphere produces the right rewards. The benefits of motivation, productivity, and creative thinking are absolutely invaluable blessings that deserve to be cultivated in your life at any cost. Now, I was recently at a church and they had a horrible sound system and I could barely stand even to preach, let alone sing or do any kind of music with that speaker system and the horrible microphones that they had. And the pastor asked me afterwards, he said, how did you like everything? And I told him, I said, the sound system is absolutely horrible. You need a brand new sound system. And the pastor told me, he said, well, we cannot afford to get a new sound system. And I told him, I said, you can't afford not to get a new sound system. You know, the truth is, if there is a horrible sound, if it's a horrible atmosphere that's being created through the sound, people will not come back. I mean, that's just plain and simple, just the way it works. Creating the right atmosphere will create an environment that's conducive for receiving ministry from the Spirit of God. Now, you can create the right atmosphere for spirit, soul, and body. That means you have to watch the atmosphere that will influence the mind, the will, the emotions, and also watch the atmosphere that will influence the physical body. You know, sitting in uncomfortable seats is another thing. You know, people won't come back to the church if they're constantly sitting for hours in uncomfortable seats. And so that's another thing that you can watch in the atmosphere. Getting your ears assaulted by a horrible sound system is another thing you have to watch out for. So, people say, well, we can't afford it. We don't have the money for it. No, you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. Several years ago, I was wanting to write some books and I realized that I work better, I'm more productive in an environment that's filled with music. That's just the way that God's wired me. And so all day long, I actually play my Spirit Spa CD and several other instrumental worship CDs by some of my favorite worship leaders. And we play them through our home all day, constantly, day and night. The music never stops. But in order to do that, we had to get a speaker system installed in our home. And it was going to be quite expensive to get the speakers installed all throughout our home, but I knew that it was something that I needed to do. It was a sacrifice that I needed to make. Even though it was a huge financial investment, I realized that the investment I was making today was going to be little compared to the blessings that I would receive tomorrow. And the truth is, after I got those speakers installed all throughout our home and we had that constant worship just flowing through our home, I ended up writing, I don't know, I think it was maybe 10 or 12 books within that 1 year period of time. And I ended up selling a ton of books and those books went all over the world and people got blessed and ministered to that would have never been ministered to if I hadn't have done that writing, if I hadn't have written those books. And I knew that in order to write them, I had to have the right atmosphere present. That goes back to master key number one, you know, the atmosphere for creativity. And so I knew that it was an investment that needed to be made. The benefits of motivation, productivity, and creative thinking are invaluable blessings, and they deserve to be cultivated in your life at any cost. Proverbs 18, verse 16 says, a gift opens a way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of greatness or into the presence of the great. And I've discovered that there's times when God's asked me even to sow a seed, a huge financial investment, sowing a seed into the right atmosphere, into the right person, into the right ministry, because I knew that there was something there that God had for me, even though it seemed massive at the time. Now, further down the road, I look back at that and I think, I'm so thankful that I sowed that seed, that I made that investment, that I spent myself in the way that I did, because today I am in the place that I am because of the seeds that I sowed yesterday and in the days gone by. And so I'm so thankful that God has brought revelation in regards to creating these atmospheres and how to cultivate these realms. Master key number 11, atmospheres can be conditioned for the miraculous. Praise conditions an atmosphere with victory. Prayer conditions an atmosphere with change. Prophecy conditions an atmosphere with potential. and participation conditions an atmosphere with manifestation. Now, when the early believers gathered together in the upper room, they conditioned the atmosphere for the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the 120 of them, they were gathered in the upper room, and they were all gathered, unified in prayer. And as their sound was being released to heaven, I've discovered that what goes up must come down. And as we saturate or seed the heavens with our prayers and our praise, what comes down is the glory cloud and the glory rains of blessing. And that actually happened for the first time here in the upper room as the believers were gathered together and they were seeding the heavens with their prayer. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit was released upon them as tongues of fire, just like the sound of a mighty rushing wind began to fill that whole house where they were at. And they began to speak in unusual tongues, and the manifestation of God came upon them. And we know that that significant moment in time was what catapulted the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. And it was what birthed the church of God worldwide. And it's absolutely amazing, you know, the miracles, the souls that were saved, the miraculous encounters that we read about through the rest of the book after that significant outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, an atmosphere can be conditioned for this miraculous outpouring. You can condition your home to have an atmosphere that brings forth miracles. You can create a miracle realm in your home. You can create a miracle realm in your business, in your school, in your workplace, in your region, over entire communities. And I have a lot of testimonies I could share about that. But, you know, we have seen God change entire communities. Quite a few years ago, Janet, Angela, and I, we had the opportunity to travel north up to a place called Whakum Bay. The Inuit are Inuktitut name for it is Kangasujuaq. And we spent some time in that village, and God literally began to move in that town where we experienced firsthand every single person. I'm talking about 100% of the population giving their heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the entire community was changed and moved into full-blown revival. Now, if God could do that in the north, why couldn't God do that anywhere else? Why couldn't God do it in the south, the east, and the west? I believe that God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he'll do for another. There is an atmosphere, a realm of God that you can create that conditions your environment for a miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's possible to create miracle realms. The Bible talks about even the working of miracles. That means that you have to do something about it. You have to put your hands in action. You have to put your words in action. You have to put your feet in action. You have to do something. You have to work the miracle. It talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, you know, it being one of the gifts of the Spirit, the working of miracles. But God wants you to create miracle realms everywhere you go, that his blessing would follow your life continually. Mark 16 says, these signs will follow them that believe. And you know, that's a key right there. What creates a miracle realm, or what creates an atmosphere where signs follow? It's simply believing God, believing his word, believing he is who he said he is, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and believing in the supernatural power of the Spirit, that all things are possible and that nothing is too difficult for God. I want to give you the final key, master key number 12. The atmosphere of God's glory contains an impartation that will revolutionize your life forever. Whatever the glory touches begins to change, and we see that all throughout Scripture. When the widow woman in Zarephath gave God's prophet Elijah the last of her flour and the little bit of oil that she had, the glory touched it and it began to multiply with overflowing abundance. I love that testimony that we read about in 1 Kings 17, verses 7 to 16, because here we have this woman that has a little bit of poverty left to her name. That's all that she owns. That's all that she possesses, is a little bit of poverty. And the man of God shows up. The glory of God comes into her life. She gives to the glory. She gives to the man of God. And all of a sudden, overnight, she goes from a place of extreme poverty to a place of extreme plenty, extreme prosperity, where the flour and the oil is overflowing. Not only is there no lack for her, but she's got enough that she can give away. And you know, I believe that true biblical prosperity is having enough to meet your own needs with enough left over to continually be generous and giving to others that are around you, to be able to meet the needs of others and become a miracle for those that God has put into your life. You know, when the servants at the wedding in John chapter 2 followed the instructions of Jesus Christ and they actually filled the 6 empty water pots, the glory touched the water and it changed into supernatural wine. Whatever the glory touches begins to change. When you yield to the move of the Spirit, God's glory contains an impartation that will revolutionize every single area of your life, spirit, soul, and body. You remember the great multitude that was gathered and they had nothing to eat. And here's this little boy that has a little tiny lunch. Now, there's no way that this little lunch is going to be able to feed or satisfy the multitudes. But Jesus touched that bread. He touched the fishes and the loaves. And the Bible tells us that what the glory touches begins to change. And suddenly it was no longer just a little boy's lunch, but it was a feast for the multitudes. And there was an overflowing, abundant supply. Whatever the glory touches begins to change. Now, I want you to see this in Mark 6, verse 56. It says, wherever he went, speaking about Jesus Christ, it says, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. When they touched the glory, when they came into a moment of divine encounter with the glory of God, suddenly everything changed in their lives. Now, the most amazing thing about this scripture, you know, we read about Jesus healing the sick, delivering the demonically oppressed, setting the captives free. And then the Bible goes on in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus is speaking and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus is literally saying to us, we get to carry this atmosphere, this realm. We get to become a miracle connection for the world around us, because as we carry the glory, whatever the glory touches begins to change. We can carry the atmosphere of divine favor on our life. We can carry the atmosphere of divine success upon our life. We get to carry this atmosphere of blessing, this atmosphere of miracles, this atmosphere of healing, this atmosphere of peace, this atmosphere of joy. We get to carry it every single place that we go. You become a miracle connection when you connect with the glory. Now, I want you to see this. In Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, it says, you are the light of the world. I want you to consider this for a moment. You are a light. You are an atmosphere. Atmosphere is not only what you create, but atmosphere is what you become. You are an atmosphere. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine, that those around you would see the light of Jesus Christ shining through you. You know, for some people, you may be the only reflection of Jesus that they will ever encounter. Some people that you meet, you may be the only miracle divine connection that they will come across. Begin to realize that you are an atmosphere. You are a light. You are a portal of glory that is being released in the earth. As you create this atmosphere of glory and allow it to flow through you, it will create an environment that uplifts, edifies, and causes people to give glory to Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. Now, friends, I want you to go through these master keys again, these 12 master keys that I've given to you. And I want you to listen to this over and over until it gets into your spirit. And I want you to put these things into practice. The Bible says, don't just be hearers of the word only, but be doers of it also. You know, I've given you some very practical applications, some practical keys that you can begin to put in place in your life. And I believe that as you do, you will begin to discover that you begin to walk into a new realm of creative miracles and divine success. Now, many of these keys that I've shared, along with some additional information, is available in my book, Atmosphere, Creating a Realm for Miracles and Success. I encourage you to get a copy of that book. I encourage you to get a copy of the Spirit Spa CD and some of the other resources that we have made available. But I trust that you have been truly blessed and encouraged by this teaching, and that God will do something amazing through you as you are created to fill the earth with the glory of God.